Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Thank you, Jesus. God's presence is here and He loves us so much. It's beautiful. And the Lord is saying, I want to give you more. I have more in store for you. Yes. I just want to pray this prayer over you. I love what we just heard in that video. The revival will cost us something. And let me pray this over you. And now, adorable Spirit, proceeding from the Father and the Son, descend upon all the churches, renew the Pentecost in this our age, and baptize thy people generally, or baptize them yet again with tongues of fire. Crown this 19th, but we are in the 20th century, with a revival of pure and undefiled religion, greater than the one of the last century, greater than of the first, greater than any demonstration of the Spirit ever yet revealed to man. And this is William Arthur's prayer in the tongues of fire, written in 1856. If that was prayer 200 years ago, how much more will we pray for revival? Come on, church, let's just raise our hands to the heavens. Let's ask God to come and renew our hunger for Him. As the songs that we have sung this morning, the prayers that we have heard, the miracles that we have seen, and the longing for more, God, would you come and just renew our hunger for you? Would you renew our hearts? Would you convict us of that sin that has settled in our hearts, of these things that we have compromised with? Just, Lord, I pray that you reveal to us the holiness of who you are once again, and let us enjoy your presence once again. Come on, church, if that is your prayer this morning, if you want more, and if you want more, and if you're done with the old, and you want more, and you're sick of settling in, come on, just ask Him to come. Just ask Him to come in your own prayers, in your own language, whatever that looks like. Show that you are hungry. Even if you feel like your heart is hard right now, ask the Holy Spirit, soften my heart right now, Holy Spirit. Let me see God for who He truly is. Let me remember the sacrifice of Jesus, is what we heard in communion. Remember the weight of this salvation, the cost of this life that I live. Let me remember this faith that I carry has been paid for by the blood and the life of Jesus. And Lord, forgive us for ever taking this faith lightly, for taking our community lightly, for taking this revival lightly. Would you convict us, God? Will it remind us of your pure and undefiled religion that you have in store for us? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 2. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And this is my favorite. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, come on, salvation is in this house. Salvation is in this house. And we will pray for more salvation to come. In Jesus' name, you can take your seats. Amen and amen. Oh, thanks. Sorry. I knew I shouldn't have worn makeup because I knew I was going to cry. Wow. Oh, guys. God is so good, eh? God is so good. And I love that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's done miracles before. He's done miracles in the stories of the Bible, and he continues to do miracles today. What an incredible testimony. And there's so many people who need a miracle of God. And how are they to know the miracle if we don't tell them the source of that miracle? If we don't show them the love of Jesus, if we don't preach to them the good news of Jesus, if we just settle in our faith and think that that's it. There's a longing world out there needing Jesus. Let's cry for revival. And as I have read earlier, this was a prayer from 1850s. We see the cry for revival in history. And church, Pneuma is birthed from revival. And revival is not just a saying or a gathering of people or an event. It is the move of the Holy Spirit. From Jesus' disciples in the upper room, to Stephen who was stoned to death, to Paul who met Jesus on the way to Damascus, to the early church fathers who were martyred for their faith, to the individuals in the last century and today who persevered and obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit. You coming today is you obeying the voice of the Spirit. Just know that you coming to church is your obedience to the voice of the Spirit. We are the fruit of hundreds of years of prayers and sacrifice. Just think of that. Someone prayed for you. Someone prayed for me. I know my mom prayed for me. My dad prayed for me. But people have prayed for my parents. People have prayed for my parents' parents. It's a generational thing. And it's a prayer from generation and generation. So let's continue praying for more to be revived in the name of Jesus. We are a legacy and we can continue this legacy. October 2025, 100 years old as a church. Let's not stop here. Let's continue the work of the Lord of bringing His kingdom to earth. He is in the business of revival, bringing dead things back to life. You and I are the fruit, and let's bear more fruit for the kingdom. And today I want to speak to you in Matthew 7, and I want to speak to you about the narrow gate of revival. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And God just worked things out. Like the songs that Pastor Dave was singing, the team. My God, wow. You just know that it's a word when the songs just match. And then the video just matched the message. I'm like, okay, God, you're cooking. So I want to read to you Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I'm just going to quickly pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your presence that is here. Thank you that your presence is all that we need. We will not leave this place if Spirit doesn't come with us, doesn't change us, doesn't move us. So have your way. Have your way. Speak through me. I pray that my brothers and my sisters, my family will hear your sweet, your still small voice. Not feeling condemned, but hungry for more of you. More of your presence. More and more and more of your love and your grace. Of our lives, every area of our lives. Lord, we just dedicate everything to you. We honor you, Jesus. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew 7, 13. I'm just going to look at this word in context. This was part of Jesus' concluding words on his Sermon on the Mount, his very popular Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. And Jesus had just begun his ministry. After his baptism in the wilderness, his baptism and his temptation in the wilderness, he began to preach. Matthew 4:17 says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He went through Galilee to perform signs and wonders, healed the sick, cast out demons, and called his disciples. All that happened on his trip around Galilee. That's the beginning of his ministry. And by that time, He had a lot of people following him. Matthew 4:25 says, great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. And I was trying to kind of picture that in today's world and how could I compare that? And I felt like it was the whole state of Victoria could hear about Jesus. Imagine that. The entire state of Victoria hearing about Jesus and every single one coming to see this guy performing miracles and wonders. Imagine that today. You and me as the church. Imagine that our church, people will come and wonder, what is going on there? What is going on? Not just a church. I'm talking about you guys in your own context, at your workplace. What is going on with that person? Why is he so nice? What is going on with that person? Why are they giving me so many blessings? I didn't ask for this. Why are they giving me finance? I'm not giving this. I'm not asking for this. And why is that person just so calm? Why is this business booming? What is going on? So the people were very curious. Many people had followed Jesus. And so we see Matthew 5. This was the time for Jesus to teach about the law, about what it meant to follow and obey God. He didn't just come to perform signs and wonders. He came to revive people's hearts. And just like us today, we're not here for the experience, the blessings, and the benefits of our faith. We are here to allow Jesus to transform and change our hearts, to bring us to repentance. So when Jesus went up that mountain, he began to teach and he spoke about the law of Moses that they were so familiar with and have heard time and time and time and time and time and time again. Have you ever felt like you've heard sermons and messages time and time and time and time again? You're like, oh, hurry up, get moving. I just want to go. Can't be like that. But you know what? When Jesus spoke to them, it's something they've never heard before. It pierced their hearts. This time they heard the law in a way that pierced their hearts. Because at the time, they used the law as their platform to be God's people. And so it was, because God needed a set of people to show the rest of the world who he was, how holy he was, and how good he was, how loving and gracious he was. He needed to call people to him, and he did that through the Israelites at the time. And a symbol of that holiness of who God is was that law. It's a set of rules, and it may sound like, whoa, that's a long list of things to do, but in reality, it's their way of living to show, hey, this is the way I have called you to live. Don't copy those people out there. These nations, they don't have gods, they don't know what they're doing, and I want you to follow this and then show them how to live. But we know, as we read in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that Israelites, they go back and forth. They receive the law, but they don't stay faithful. They go their own way. God calls them to him, but they don't listen. They reject God. They get in trouble. They come back to God. And God, in his loving grace and mercy, forgives them, welcomes them back. And then the cycle happens again and again and again and again and again. So it's become routine. It's become like, yeah, I'm going to do this, this and that. So there's no real transformation. But Jesus wants real transformation. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrows, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's the power of God. If you read the Bible and it doesn't change you, read it again. If you read that verse, it doesn't change you, read it again and again and again and again until you hear the Lord say, that's it. That's what I want you to realize. That's what I want you to change. That's what I want you to work in. That's what I want you to preach. That's what I want you to live. The Word of God makes us realize our need for a Savior, our need for revival. Jesus showed them that it's not about the outward display of obedience. That's not what God wants. It's never what God wanted. He was after their hearts. He just wants your love. God wants your affection, your attention. I mean, why would he go on the cross if he didn't want you? Why would he die for you if he did not want you? Just think about that. Would a person do that? He did say in the Bible, a righteous person died for the world. Why would someone do that? He's all set. God is actually set. We're the ones in our trouble, in our own messes. God could just say, that's your mess, fix it. But no, I want you. I want you to hold your heart, put your hand on your heart and say, God wants me. God loves me. What a privilege to be loved by the creator of the whole universe. I always say it time and time again, but it's the truth. The creator of the universe loves us and wants to be with us. You know, the Israelites of that mountain and the sermon, they must have realized that it's harder than they thought. It's not just following a set of rules, it's a change of heart. When we start to feel anger, frustration, lust and envy and pride, how do you fix that? You just sacrifice and do offerings? How can you not retaliate when someone wrongs you? Or how can you not feel lustful when you see something so provocative? How do you stay faithful and respectful and honoring to your spouse and your family? How do you love your enemies? How do you give and pray and fast with pure intentions? Like, fasting alone is hard, but having the pure intention of doing it for God is hard. How much more? Imagine that. You think giving sacrifices is enough. For them, that was it. And that was the teaching of the Pharisees. That's why Jesus was so mad at these Pharisees, because they're leading the people astray. But Jesus is saying, no, you need a change of heart. And that's what he has come to do. He didn't come here to preach us things. He's come to change our hearts, transform us. Because all these feelings that we're feeling, we can't change that. We can't fix that because we're broken. That's the reality. That's why the Bible says, I will replace that heart of stone with a heart of flesh. I will change your heart. And you know how he does that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit today. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you say that, I give you my heart, Lord, you're giving him that permission to change you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that you come back from dead to life, that is your revival. Not in a meeting, not in a gathering, not in a service. That's your one-on-one walk with the Lord daily, walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, walk in step with the Spirit that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that's it. And Jesus has come to do that and give that to them. The people have been stuck with physical obedience, not realizing their hearts are far from God. Them being the people of God has just become a title. Church, being the people of God, has this just become a title for us? A title on a Sunday for a couple of hours if we're here? Or maybe when we need God to do something for us, has it just become a routine? We do it, but our heart's not in it. Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus giving them a new perspective on how to follow him, how to obey God, how to live for him. And then he begins to wrap up and he says, enter by the narrow gate. That's in chapter 7. It is easy to settle with what we have and how we're doing when we don't want to face the reality of our situation. Maybe the people are just so discouraged at the time that they're just like, okay, we're just going to settle with this. They've had other nations attack them, take them captive, they lost their homes, and it's back and forth, and they're just over it, and they just got stuck with that routine. Have you ever felt like that? You've gone through disappointment after disappointment, that you're like, I'm just going to settle with this. I'm just going to get used to this, and I'm just going to move. That's it. You're so distant, you're so detached to the reality because you don't want to feel that pain. You don't want to face that sin, that brokenness. I remember at work years ago, my workplace, the staff turnover was high. Our management was toxic. It was so difficult to come into work. I was like, God, I'm just here to work 3 days a week, so I'm out. I really do not care. I just did my own thing when I would come into work. I'd still be respectful and kind and loving, you know, as a good Christian girl. But I didn't care. I was just settled because, you know, this is my source of income. I thought, you know, I have better things to do. But then I was given the opportunity to be a manager, to manage the team. And I was like, oh my God, Lord, what do you mean? I was planning to quit, but God was like, I want you to change the culture. God was calling me higher. God wanted me to bring revival in my workspace. You know, history tells us that the Pentecostal movement grew because of the Azusa Street Revival in LA. It was led by Reverend William Seymour. Could you please put up a picture of Reverend Seymour? And he was an African-American preacher during the 1900s, a time of segregation and discrimination. You know, in 1905, he attended Bible school, but he was forced to sit outside. I mean, they welcomed him, but still he had to sit outside. He was treated with injustice, but he did not waver, because a year later, we will see revival. We will see that Azusa revival. So I wanted to say, the narrow gate of revival, number one, is uncomfortable. Yeah. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. When God calls us to something, we see the reality of our situation. When Jesus spoke to them about the law of God and showed them a different way of looking at it, like, oh, wow, they have come face to face with their brokenness. Like, how are we going to fix this? I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot do this. How do I fix those feelings? I didn't think they matter. However, when we encounter God, yes, we realize how sinful we are, but he doesn't leave us there. He reminds us that Jesus came to fix that problem, to fix that condemnation. The Bible says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what it means. When you are in Christ, when you realize that, oh my gosh, I have to deal with my sin. But God says, I didn't ask you to do it alone. I want you to give it to me. As you give me your life, I will give you a new heart. So, you know, when Reverend William Seymour, when he gave his life, when he encountered the Holy Spirit, he just wouldn't stop. He just couldn't stop there. He said, I have to do something. Even if they didn't like me because of my skin color, I'm going to go study the Word of God. And then a year later, in 1906, Azusa Revival happened. Imagine that. Despite all the hardships, despite facing the reality of that situation, despite being so uncomfortable, he went ahead. He followed. He went through that narrow gate. That difficulty of serving God, because it was worth it. When God calls us to serve, we realize the reality is it is hard. You sacrifice time, effort, and resources. Is it going to be worth it? Church, yes, it is worth it. Chapter Matthew 8, 9, Jesus said, foxes have no holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It's not glamorous following Jesus. We are blessed, don't get me wrong. God gives us all we need and he wants us to prosper in all our ways. But just know that the blessings that we have, the revival that we have, all these things that we experience from God, yes, they're for us to enjoy, but it's not just for our sake alone. It is for the sake of his kingdom. It is for us to experience it so that we can share this experience to others. It may be uncomfortable to give your life to Christ. It may be uncomfortable to really give up the things that you cling on so closely in your heart, but just know that it is all worth it. Church, let's not settle for what we have now. Yeah. Let's want more, because God has more in store for us. Right. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Yeah. Where is God calling you? What has God called you to sacrifice? Who did God put in your heart to evangelize or pray to or meet with or reconcile with? What is that mission or business or project that God wants you to pioneer? Our obedience is a step revival. Number two, the narrow gate of revival, it requires faith. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Some people may say, how do you know that you're following the right path? How do you know that what you're doing is from God? Did God really call you to do that? Are you sure? How can you be sure? How come the rest of the world continues to prosper while we're always struggling? How odd. Why do we suffer more now that we're more serious about following Jesus? Have you noticed that as soon as you're serious with your faith, you're bombarded with temptations and frustrations and sicknesses and challenges and these things that you didn't have before you were serious about your faith? You know, when you start to pray for revival, hindrances come. The enemy comes down full force to stop people from coming to God and giving their lives to Him. So when you face a challenge and you think, oh my gosh, where did this come from? Pray against it and say, Lord, this is just the enemy trying to distract me. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to believe in faith. I'm going to continue to walk that narrow gate, to go through that narrow gate of my faith, because I want revival for my life. I want revival for my family. I want revival for my finances. I want revival over my health. I want revival over my community. I want revival over my church. I want revival over our nation, our government, over the world. Your prayer, you feel like your prayer is just a one person's prayer, but no, it says in the Bible, God has this ball of prayers. And He is sending His angels to work on our behalf, on His behalf for His kingdom. So keep praying even if you don't see the result. Keep praying, keep believing, and keep trusting. Have faith. Have faith. I have another photo to put up. The first Pentecostalist church was led by a woman in Australia. The first Pentecostal church in Australia was led by a woman named Sarah Jane Lancaster. Amazing. How incredible. And this is the 1900s where women barely had any rights. While the Azusa revival was happening, God was preparing Sarah for this incredible ministry in 1908. She founded the church. How good is that? There was a person who came who preached on Pentecost about the Holy Spirit, and then she encountered the Holy Spirit and she felt like the Lord has called her to lead a church. Wow, what a history. But then division came. Difference in doctrines, questions about how to run a service, practice, your race. People were getting saved. We're being filled with the Holy Spirit. Lives were transformed, but because man got in the way. Man as in you and me, humans, got in the way. Our minds, our opinions that are not from God. We put a stop to the move of the Holy Spirit. We actually put a stop on revival. Church, we have to keep believing in faith. We've got to pray and say, God, I want to see you move again in a mighty way. I don't want to settle for what I see now. I want more the way you have encountered people in the Bible, the way you have encountered the people in the early church, the way you have encountered me when I first got saved. I want more of that. Holy Spirit, come and fill me again. Keep praying. And even if you sound ridiculous, believe and pray in faith. And it's not about following God blindly, by no means. Be so inquisitive that you dig deep into the Word. You spend longer time in prayer. You do your research. The Bible says, Jeremiah 33, God said, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Our questions, our doubts should lead us to more faith, should lead us at the feet of Jesus. Have faith. Go through that difficulty of praying even if you don't feel like it. But I'm going to pray some more. I'm done praying, but I'm going to pray some more. I'm done reading the Word, but I'm going to read some more. I've already prayed for someone this week. I've already met with someone this week. I'm going to look at my calendar. I can make room for one more person. Make room for people. Make room to express and deliver that love and the gospel to others. Always make room and have faith. Even if you feel ridiculous, even if you feel like nothing is happening, nothing is changing, you keep getting rejected. Sarah Jane, she may have started her church, but then it dwindled. But we will see that the seed was planted. That may have been discouraging, but God had a plan. When God's plan, if it's God's plan, let me tell you, it will come to pass. You know, it may be easy to walk away, to stop believing, stop praying, stop serving. That's the wide gate. Just going back to your routine of just doing your own thing, attending church, doing the right things, and then walking off, but your heart's not really transformed. Jesus saying, enter by the narrow gate. It's uncomfortable. It will require faith, but there is life. And last, the narrow gate of revival, it leads to life. You know, when Jesus came, I love the story of Jesus, my favorite. I know we have to read the Old Testament to make sense of the New Testament, but when you just read the story of Jesus, every time he meets with someone, there's always a life that's transformed. Yeah. How incredible! What kind of Jesus are you bringing to your friends and your family and your workplace? Does he bring revival? Does he give them life? Does it encourage them? You are the hands and feet. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And what kind of Jesus are we showing our friends? It must bring life. Must bring life. And if it doesn't, go back to your prayer room and say, God, I repent. Help me show you the way that you are. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God moved through Reverend William Seymour in the Azusa Revival. But little did he know, there's a Latino American preacher and his family that were there and they were touched by the Holy Spirit. And this was A.C. Valdez. It's so good to look back at history of our church because you'll see the richness of how we are and what we've become and like how we got here. He received a prophecy, actually, that God was calling him to Australia. There was a woman that he had never met in his life, and he just came up to him, and God said, you will go to Australia. On his way, though, he made a stop in New Zealand in 1924 and helped create the Pentecostal Church in New Zealand. That's crazy. And while that's happening, we have C.L. Greenwood in Sunshine. He previously had a doctrine. He believed in God. He believed in Jesus. But his doctrine is so strict that he made no room for the move of the Holy Spirit. But he was touched by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, church, if you've been touched by the Holy Spirit, your doctrines, your set of beliefs, it will come to life. It's not to change it. It'll just elevate it. You're going to want to love more. And it's your reading the Bible and your set of beliefs. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus came back to life. I am saved. I'm being transformed. The Holy Spirit. That all comes to life because of the Holy Spirit. And like I said, it's not our own doing. Just like the people in the old in Israel, when Jesus was preaching about the Sermon on the Mount. It's not about that. It's not really about that. It's really just the Holy Spirit moving and transforming us and just making things alive in us. That's what gives us life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. So while that's happening, C.L. Greenwood had an encounter and began a small church in Sunshine. That's that in 1925. And then the Lord brought A.C. Valdez. And revival broke out. Come on, church. Revival broke out. And from there, the very same church grew to become what it is today. Can you put up the last picture? I want you to be encouraged by this.
Come on.
Come on, guys. Come on. That's us today. That's us today. We didn't get here because someone settled in their faith or because someone gave up after the trials they faced or because someone left because it's taking too long. It took 100 years. Revival happened because someone heeded the call of Jesus in their life. And that's you today. That's us today. Let's heed the call of Jesus in our lives. They knew that Jesus' reward is greater than the challenges and oppositions and all their heartaches and the temptations of taking it easy. The road is long and hard, but we will see the reward. And what's that reward? Life, salvation, God encounters, communities transformed, the kingdom of God becoming a reality. If I could just invite the band. Church, let's not give up. Let's continue to toil and serve the kingdom. I'm not talking about serving on Sundays. I'm talking about bringing revival on your own walk with God. Start with that. Walk that narrow, go through that narrow gate of being transformed daily and praying hard and being in your closet and just saying, God, I need you, I need you, I need you. And let that communion pour out in the way you love your spouse, the way you love your children, the way you love your workplace, your community, the way you love the church, the way you love even yourself. Let all that come from your walk with the Lord. Jesus is saying, don't choose the easy way of following God. That is just going through the motions, coming in and out, and going to do it again and again and again. That doesn't change anything. It's all an outward appearance. God says, let me work on your heart. Let's get down to the nitty gritty of your brokenness, of your pain, of your need, of your frustration, of that sickness. Come to me. Let me work on that and let me heal you. Let me give you a new heart. Let me restore you. And as God does that for us, while He deals with our brokenness, He encourages us to love people more. He empowers us by the power of His Holy Spirit to advance the kingdom. It's uncomfortable. It requires a lot of faith, but it leads to life. An encouragement from Jesus in John 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I'll always remember a preaching that we had from Matt. He spoke about Romans 8 as well. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified in Him. There was a preaching that I've heard as well. It says, the cost of your salvation, the cost of receiving salvation is free, but the cost of following Jesus will require all your life, all our lives. And it requires sacrifice. You know, church, we've come from a rich history. We have a rich history. And I love studying because it opened the world to me through how the church became what it is today. Not just our church, but the Big C Church. There's so many opposition, so many died, but they did not stop because their reward is Jesus. Church, let's close our eyes and ask ourselves, Jesus, are you still my reward? Or have I lost sight of you? When I gave my life to you, when I gave my heart to you, have I lost my way and decided to take it easy? I've become relaxed in my prayer. I've stopped ministering. I stopped believing for your move. I stopped believing in the move and the touch of the Spirit. I stopped praying for revival. Church, let's repent today and come back to Him and let the Spirit of God be poured out on you again and make the dead things come to life. That dream, that vision, that gift that God has given you, that plan, that mission trip that God has called you to. that business, that financial blessing that you are to give, that repentance, that reconciliation with family members or friends, your entire life, lay it up the altar of Jesus and ask Him to bring it back to life once again.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.